Corinthians chapter 5, and I would direct your attention to verse 17. If you find it, would you please stand? This is how it reads. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. You may be seated. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. This morning, I'd like to teach on the topic, the tale of a careless Christian. Let us seek the Lord in prayer. You are God alone. There is none like thee. There will never be any like thee. Thou art the God who dwells on unapproachable light, the God who no man have seen and can ever see. Thou art God who is knowable yet incomprehensible, transcendent yet eminent. We give thanks, we give thee glory. The man standing behind this desk is not worthy to be here. But Lord God, you've given me just this grace to make known the immortal word of God. May thou now open my mind to understand the depth of your word. But Lord, I pray, may thou give your people a hearing heart, that each one this morning will hear, thus says the Lord. And when they hear, they will do what the word of God says. This indeed is my prayer. In Jesus' name, I give thanks and pray. And I just say, amen. I should have known better. That was what I said to myself as a cup of coffee spilled on my computer. When you place a cup of coffee next to your computer, common sense should tell you that you can knock it over. But that morning, my common sense was on mute. As I reached out and my hand knocked the cup of coffee and it spilled all over my computer. Though it was a lesson that was learned, but it was one that could have been easily averted if I was not so careless. Fortunately, no substantial damage was done. But such outcome is not always the norm. At times, carelessness comes with severe consequences. Like it did for 17-year-old Carly Bowick of Little Fall, Minnesota. She was driving and texting, and the passenger that was next to her pleaded with her to stop texting, but she did not comply. Minutes later, she ran a red light, hit a truck, killed a father, and killed his 10-year-old daughter. Both her life and the life of the family that lost those persons completely changed because of our carelessness. And sad to say, our story is just one in a catalog of stories of careless choices that people make that have left great pain and devastation in its aftermath. Families have been destroyed because of carelessness. Churches have split because of carelessness. And evil nations have gone to war because of the careless choices people make. But just as carelessness can have consequences on the physical, it can also have severe consequences on the spiritual. As a Christian, in case you don't know this, spiritual failure does not happen in a vacuum. There are always mitigating influences or factors that trigger spiritual failure. And one of those factors is always carelessness. In the story that we find in 2 Samuel chapter 5, chapter 11, the story of David. They said in the year that kings go to war, David stayed home. And David went on top of the roof of his palace. And from there, he looked over and saw a woman that was bathing. In his lust, he sent to inquire about that lady. They said, this lady, her name is Bathsheba. She's the wife of Uriah, who is one of your most faithful, loyal servants that is presently fighting a battle for you, the battle that you can go. And apart from that, Elam is a father's name. With all that information, David threw caution to the wind. David cared less about the sanctity of marriage. He cared less about Uriah. Most importantly, he cared less about the law of God than did it his way. Add more like a relationship, like a forced relationship with Bathsheba. David's careless act of selfishness forever stained his picture-perfect spiritual record. But apart from that, it brought into his life, into the life of his generation, the judgment of God. Then we fast forward to Luke chapter 11, in Luke chapter 22 rather. We go to Luke chapter 22 and we see the story of Peter. The Lord Jesus told Peter that, Peter, devil has requested permission to sift you as wheat. Now, one will expect Peter at that moment to humble himself and bow before Christ and say, Lord, I need grace so that I can be able to withstand this moment of temptation. But Peter dusted off the Lord Jesus. Vehemently, he said to himself, I will never betray you. I will never deny you. Hours later, Peter denied his master. So it goes without saying that carelessness is one of the chief instigators of spiritual failure. You will always be spiritually incompetent and ineffective if you are careless. Spiritual health and maturity requires stringent spiritual discipline. It requires that you buffet your body, your mind, for holiness. And if you cannot do that as a Christian, you will end up failing because of carelessness. And this is why I believe there is so much struggle in our churches. And sad to say, this is the narrative of so many people. Many people's constant struggle with revolving sin or their lukewarm attitude towards spiritual things can actually be traced to the root, which is carelessness. Because carelessness becomes the portal that allows sin to come and reassert itself in your life. And when it reassert itself in your life, it begins now to make you and subject you to domination. That is why I believe it's expedient for us as believers in Jesus Christ to be able to understand the dynamics of spiritual carelessness. What are the dangers of spiritual carelessness? And what are the signs that you are being spiritually careless? These are what I'm going to look at this morning as I examine this topic. Now, as a prefix, this is what I want you to understand. As a Christian, you cannot understand the magnitude of the danger posed by spiritual carelessness unless you first understand about spiritual warfare. So let me lay it out to you. As a Christian, spiritual warfare is not optional. You cannot claim to be a pacifist when it comes to spiritual warfare. By virtue of your salvation, you have been grafted in and drafted in into the spiritual warfare. It is a cosmic and seismic warfare that is taking place in the invisible realm between the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light, between light and darkness, between God and Satan. And as a believer in Jesus Christ, you are already in this battle by default that you're saved. Watch what the Apostle Paul would teach us when we begin to look at scripture to understand what this says. Paul now reminds us here, he said, put on the full armor of God, that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 and 12. Paul is saying to us that as a believer, you are engaged in a spiritual battle with this spiritual enterprise that Satan is the head of them all. But not only are you engaged in a battle with Satan, you are also engaged in a battle with the residue of your fallen nature, what we call the flesh. Now, watch what Paul again will tell us. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. He said, walk in the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, for they are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do as you please. Galatians 5, 16 and 17. Not only are we fighting against the forces of darkness that we can see, we are also fighting against the flesh. But there is a third dimension. As a Christian, you are engaged in a battle with this world system. Watch what John will tell us. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, 15 and 16. He said, do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the prosperous pride of life is not from the Father, but from the world. Now, these three has one singular agenda. And the agenda is by whatever means necessary to cause you to fail spiritually and to destroy your testimony for Christ. These three have the same overarching goal. They want you to fail. They want to destroy your testimony. They want to show to the world that you are phony, you are fake, you don't got what it takes. And they go about it in different ways. Let's first of all look at how Satan goes about it. Satan essentially operates from the outside. And the way he operates from the outside is very simple. He comes with different plots, different setups and traps, different temptation. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for those who are weak and careless. He also throws fiery darts into your head to see which one you are going to pick up, what you're going to meditate on. And all those things he does because he wants to trap you to fail. And he essentially works from the outside. The flesh, on the other hand, works from the inside. Now, I want you to watch what you're facing now. It works from the inside, and its goal is to lure you to fleshly desires as opposed to spiritual desires. That is why Paul was able to remind us in Galatians 5, beginning at verse 11, verse 19. He said, now the deeds of the flesh are evident. Watch it. It's not the deed of Satan, but the deed of the flesh. He said, immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, dispute, dissension, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing. And he said, and things like this. In other words, this list ain't finished yet. That is what you as a Christian wrestle with every moment of every day. The thought then, the world system operates from the outside. And the world system actually is Satan's propaganda platform. The goal of the world system is to promote the agenda of Satan. That is why the world system, its ideology, its goal, is always antithetical to the Word of God. That is why what the world preaches, what the world system advocates, it's always unbiblical stuff. It's always things that drive you away from God, because it is the platform that the devil uses to spread his venom. And today in our world, the devil continues to spread his venom to every corridor of our world, our society, that many see good and they call it wrong. They see wrong and they call it good. And you scratch your head to ask, why can't they just see? It's because of the propaganda that the devil is going for through the world system. With all that said, how dangerous would it not be for you as a Christian to be careless? I want you to imagine the magnitude of those that daily you are struggling with. It is spiritual suicide for you as a Christian to be careless. You are going to be destroyed. You cannot afford to be careless. And you might say, Pastor Weller, listen, I don't think I'm careless. I come to church. And I meet Bible study once every year. Let me give you some telltale signs that you are careless. The first telltale sign is this. If you rely on your own strength, you have been spiritually careless. If you rely on your own strength in this walk of faith, you are being spiritually careless. God did not call you or save you for you to rely on your own strength. God wants you in this walk of faith to completely rely upon the strength that He supplies. You are not powerful in of yourself against the powers of darkness. That is what the Lord Jesus in our Father's prayer taught us. He said, when we pray, say, deliver us from evil. In His high priestly prayer, John chapter 17, He said, I don't pray that you take them out of this world, but you protect them from the world, from the evil one. The reason the Lord Jesus reiterated these prayers is because He understands the power of darkness. That the power of darkness, you are no match. Let me help you to understand this. The devil is stronger, wiser, more powerful than you. He's been around long, long, long before you were even thought of. And He is a spiritual entity. You can fight who you see, but you can't fight who you don't see. So for you now in this spiritual battle to be careless, to say, I'm going to depend on my strength. And by the way, that's what the enemy wants. He wants you to depend on your strength to win this battle, but you cannot. You're careless. That's why the Bible is replete with exhortation that we must be strong in the Lord. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourself before God. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. You submit first. Then you're able to resist. But you don't do that in of your strength. You submit to God. Paul again, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Walk in the Spirit that you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. What the Bible is saying is that if you say to yourself, I'm doing it by myself, I don't need you, Jesus, you have been careless, because they're going to chew you up. The problem with Peter was exactly that. Peter thought he could do it by himself. But Peter failed to understand that he's no match for the devil. And that night, Peter went out and wept bitterly because he was defeated. Number two, if you're constantly engulfed in worldly things, you are being spiritually careless. May I repeat that? If you're constantly engulfed in worldly things, you are careless. Now, the saying is good. Saying is correct. And the saying goes like this. He said, whatever preoccupies your time will always preoccupy your mind. And in the world of social media and different kind of entertainment on television, real life, MGM Studio, Maryland Life, Horseshoe Casino, you can name it all. And you got all this stuff that's always seeking to compete with your time, pulling you to himself. Many of us on our cell phone every minute, spend hours on Facebook, spend hours on Instagram, on Twitter, all this stuff we're doing. If you as a Christian allow those things to engulf your time, the worldliness, you are careless. There are two reasons why you're careless. Number one, the message that is being disseminated through those worldly things are so powerful that they will desensitize you from what the Bible says. In other words, the more you watch Empire and you continue to absorb what they're doing, or you watch Scandal, or you turn to on TV and watch all those stuff that they do, and you begin to empathize with those that look as if they're sorry because they feel neglected, but they're living wrong, right? And you begin to desensitize you. So in your head, you're thinking, oh, what a pity. Oh, why did they do that to him? Before you know it, you become desensitized to what the Bible says it is wrong. And the problem with many of us today, we have become desensitized to truth. We don't hold God's word holy. We are so engulfed in all this stuff. And there is a message that is being given to us every day, every minute, every hour. And we are biting the bait. And you are careless. Number two, you are careless because the message that you're hearing, what you ultimately engulf, you begin to think of it and you begin to live it. And if there's a problem in the contemporary Western church, is the problem of covert materialist. We say, hallelujah, anyhow, but God, you got to give me my house. God, you got to give me, don't tell me to go to Afghanistan or no mission field. Mission what? Lord Jesus, you ain't talking to me. You are talking to Brother Jared at the back. Because we have become worldly. And look at many of us, we are worldly. Because we have listened. We have been so engulfed. We have been careless to allow this filtration of stuff into our heads. That is where the problem lies. That is why many of you come here and want God, what can you do for me? It's not about you. It's about the glory of God. The Bible never began with man. The Bible begins with God. It's about the glory of God. It's not about you. It's not about your bills. It's not about your job. It's not about your canon. It's about God. But the world ain't going to tell you that. They weren't going to tell you it's about your happiness, the pursuit of happiness. And many of us have bought into it. It's all about my happiness. But says, woo, your happiness is in glory. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and then lose a soul? He who seeks to gain his life, says the Lord Jesus, will lose it. But those who lose is their life for his sake will gain it. There's two more coming in case you're deciding whether I'm going to stay or leave. Number three, if you have no time for spiritual disciplines of any kind, you are spiritually careless. What are spiritual disciplines? Spiritual disciplines are activities that we do that help us to build our spiritual fortitude as well as draw us closer to God. Example of those spiritual activity or discipline is prayer. Fasting. Your study of the word, daily study of the word, meditation on the word, even simplicity. Those are spiritual discipline that, number one, build you up spiritually and draws you closer to God. But as a Christian, if you say, I don't have time to pray, if you say, I don't have time to study the word, you are careless. You are absolutely careless. It's utter carelessness. Because guess what? You have opened yourself up for the greatest attack to come into your life. When you don't pray, you are weak. Because the enemy knows that you ain't communicating. You ain't tapping to the source. You ain't tapping to the power source. He knows that. And he's going to come with against you. The flesh is going to arouse and you can't stop it because you don't even come to Bible study. And we at times call this church a Bible church. And we have people that don't even come out one single day in a year. Don't even sit online to watch live stream Bible study. But how are you going to know the word of God? How are you going to understand his ways? Paul, God told Joshua, he said, don't let this book of the law depart from you. Meditate upon it day and night. God said, why would God say meditate on it day and night? Because he knows that Joshua, there are going to be enemies you're going to face. There are going to be enemies, but you got to know me. You can only know me in my word. And for many of us, we don't have time. We go to work, we come back, we sit down, we turn on our TVs, and we remember God when we want to sleep. Now I lay me down to, we're gone. We get up in the morning, we begin the same ritual. We don't spend time with God. We don't even know. Only on church on Sunday morning. And you expect yourself to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You're prey. He's going to chew you out good. You ain't no, you're not even a pass pushover, and you fall. You must understand, but apart from that, you are separating yourself from the God who wants to be in a relationship with you, and you're careless. You are careless, and there's a lot of careless Christians. It doesn't cost you nothing. Listen, what you value, you put time into it. If you value God, every day you should ingest his word. You can say, Pastor, I don't have time. Tell you what, this is what I do. On my iPhone, I got this app that I downloaded, Scripture. And my wife will tell you, go to Bible study. I don't play no music. I do play music, Christian, but I listen to the Scripture. And at times I don't pay attention, but you know one thing about the word of God? It's going in. 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 Because I needed to go in. I don't have to think about it, but I needed to go in. I needed to be ingested. I need to. And I can drive 5 or 7 miles, and I've listened to 2 epistles. But you got to go in. That is the way you can know the word, and you can become acclimated with the word. And I can tell you, I've been studying this for a long time, but every time I listen, something new stands out. And the Holy Spirit ministers to my soul, because I got to be in his word. I got to be in his presence. I got to devote time every morning. I got to get up 1 hour, 2 hours before the time. I need to spend time in prayer. I need to fall on my face before God. I need to say, God, I don't know what this day holds, but Lord, go before me. I need to seek his face. That is the only way you can become spiritually mature. If you're not doing that, you're careless. And there's a lot of us that are careless. And you wonder why you can't get a prayer through. Silver and gold we now have, but the power we lack. Because we don't spend enough time. We're careless. The final thing. If you're not discerning, you are being careless. If you can't discern, you are careless. Now, most of the attack of the enemy are always disguised. The enemy never shows you his true hand most times. Nobody comes to this pulpit and says, I'm a false teacher, and I'm going to teach you false teaching. No. They come here, open the Bible, preach to you, but no, they will mix it up with their horn to lead you astray. That's why as a Christian, you must be discerning. So you might ask, Pastor Wally, what is the definition of discernment? Let me give it to you, a working definition. It is the ability to process everything through the filter of God's word. Let me repeat that. The ability to process everything in life through the filter of God's word. You go to Marshall's and you go buy a dress. You give the cashier $40 because the dress is $35. And by accident, she gives you a $50 bill. And you step out. Now, you can say, praise the Lord. My prayers got answered. I was looking for $50. The Lord supplied the need. That's worldly. But for a person that is discerning, he will be able to say, no. This could be the test of my fidelity, the test of my integrity, the test that the Lord is trying to put here. I am not going to take this. I'm going to go back to that sister because I know when she counts her skill, when she counts her till, $50 is going to be short. I can be blessed on what is wrong. I need to go back and give her back that money and say, listen, you gave me the wrong change. I need the right change from you. That is discernment. Discernment is that when you got a job and you are CEO and the sister comes in scantily dressed, everything's showing, and she bent over and said, did you see that file? And you sitting there and say, file, I ain't seen this file. What's going on? Lord have mercy. And you say, Lord, this is something. But your discernment got to kick and say, listen. You see this? It's called a ring. And you know what? You don't play me like that because I understand what you might be trying to do because you're discerning. You're passing everything through the process of God's word. And the problem with many of us, we don't discern. And because we don't discern, we take everything at face value. And when we do, we fail. You will fail because you're careless. You got to be able to look. I'm not saying to be judgmental. I'm not saying you judge everything you see, but you use your discerning mind. You use your discerning mind to speak. You use your discerning mind. You use your discernment because God wants you to use that. Don't say to me, God will protect me. No, he has given you a mind in Christ. And my brothers and sisters might say, what does this mean to me? We are careless. Christians, we need to stop being careless. The Bible is calling us to be men and women of God that will stand for his word. Many of us keep failing. Many of us are in this vicious cycle of sin every day. The same thing we're repeating. And we are wondering why. It's not because you're weak. It's because you're careless. And this is what you need to change. Change being careless. Begin to nip all those loopholes in your life that expose carelessness. And watch the Lord begin to walk in your life. Let us pray. My Father, my God, the tale of a careless Christian. And Lord, many of us are careless. But yet the enemy we wrestle with, he never sleeps nor slumbers. He's always awake. He never takes a vacation. He never takes a day off. Even a break, 20 minutes break, he never takes. He's always there. Even in our soul, the flesh continue to rage. The desires of the flesh continue to rage in our souls. And Father, the world system itself, all they're spewing out is all things that are antithetical to your word. They tell us wrong is right. They show people on television that make us feel empathy for wrong. But Lord God, your word is your word. Your word is forever establishing heaven. And what was wrong in AD 1 is wrong in AD 2020. There is no changing in your word. Give us the grace as believers to be more careful so that we can stand and be the persons that God calls us to be. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.